bracing wintry breeze blowing through the budding trees. And I button up my coat to keep me warm. But the days are on the mend and I'm on the road again, with my fiddle snuggled close beneath my arm. I've a fine felt hat and a strong pair of brogues. I have rosin in my pocket for my bow. And my fiddle strings are new, and I've learned a tune or two, so I'm well prepared to ramble and must go. I'm as happy as a king when I catch a breath of spring, and the grass is turning green as winter ends. And the geese are on the wing, and the thrushes start to sing, and I'm headed down the road to see my friends. I've a fine felt hat and a strong pair of brogues. I have rosin in my pocket for my bow. And my fiddle strings are new, and I've learned a tune or two, so I'm well prepared to ramble and must go. I have friends in every town as I ramble up and down, making music at the markets and the fairs. Through the donkeys and the creels and the farmers making deals, and the yellow-headed tinkers selling wares. I have a fine felt hat and a strong pair of brogues. I have rosin in my pocket for my bow. And my fiddle strings are new, and I've learned a tune or two, so I'm well prepared to ramble and must go. Here's health to one and all, to the big and to the small, to the rich and poor alike, and foe and friend. And when we return again, may our foes have turned to friends, and may peace and joy be with you until then. I have a fine felt hat and a strong pair of brogues. I have rosin in my pocket for my bow. And my fiddle strings are new, and I've learned a tune or two, so I'm well prepared to ramble and must go. I have a fine felt hat and a strong pair of brogues. I have rosin in my pocket for my bow. And my fiddle strings are new, and I've learned a tune or two, so I'm well prepared to ramble and must go.
I will build my love about near yon pure crystal fountain, and on it I will pile all the flowers of the mountain. Will ya go, oh lassie, go?
And we'll all go together to pluck wild mountain thyme all around the blooming heather. Will ya go, oh lassie?
My true love, she were gone, I would surely find another where wild mountain thyme grows round the blooming heather.
You just heard a set of different songs, a couple intentionally with spring in the lyrics and a couple just because they sounded springy. Opened up with the Rambles of Spring from the Makem and Clancy concert album, and then followed that up with an interesting flute tune from a CD called Flute Salad, by Eric the Flute Maker, and that particular cut was called Irish Spring. Followed that up with the love theme from the Barry Lyndon film, The Women of Ireland, done by the Chieftains, and then finished up with Will Ye Go, Lassie Go, by the High Kings, who were here week before last. Two back-to-back shows at the Soiled Dove Underground. And unfortunately, George Murphy was fighting a upper respiratory bug while they were here. And then Brian Dunphy came down with a tummy bug that forced them to cancel their next two appearances, one at the Evanston Celtic Festival in Wyoming, and then the next one up in Montana. Fortunately, those were the last two on that tour, and they were able to go home. But tough way to wind up their time in the States. If you caught them at the Soiled Dove Underground, you know what an incredible show they put on. And if you didn't, you'll just have to wait until the next time they come back. So I'm going to play a couple more tunes, and then for you Byrne and Kelly fans, I'm going to play an interview that I did with Neil Byrne like a week ago Monday, and then play a song or two from their new CD that they recorded last summer live in Kansas City. And that particular album is going to be released on April 12th. You can pre-order it right now on iTunes and I think CD Baby. But for now, you'll have to be content to what you can hear here.
As I strolled along, I heard a young girl singing a song to welcome the new day, the coming of spring. Bleak winter over, new life to begin. For love is a pleasure, and love that is pain. Lover's desire to share yet again the sweetness of caring, the joy and the tears. Love everlasting, enduring for years. She sang it so sweetly, she sang it so fine. I thought of my own life and all that was mine, for having and holding are better than dreams. Lucky in love means more than it seems. For love is a pleasure, and love it is pain. Love is desire to share yet again the sweetness of caring, the joy and the tears. Love everlasting, enduring for years. A time comes for living, a time comes for love, and this is a good time to give all you have. For seasons come round and so quickly roll on, but spring brings that young girl to sing the old song. For love is a pleasure, and love it is pain. Love is desire to share yet again the sweetness of caring, the joy and the tears. Love everlasting, enduring for years.
Are on in Stanton's, and the spell has been broken. The roadside tea house door is wide open. A sign on the wall says American also spoken. As spring comes to Spittle, the village girls go walking by without their coats. The Irish Gaelic college is alive again with folk. Farmers got their talking, freed from winter's yoke, and spring comes to Spittle. goat and a funny looking German bloke and a billy goat, all in vogue, the summer's soon to bloom. On a soft and fresh Atlantic air, a mist of pollen floats. On Galway Bay, I spy a gaily painted fishing boat. There is a rustle around the bowings and the song in every throat. As spring comes, tis middle.
All right, that was a fun one. The Waterboys, Spring Comes to Spittle. For those of you who may not be familiar with Spittle, it's a fine little town in the Gaeltacht, just a bit north up the coast from Galway. Great, great artisan community and nice shops. Some fun little B&Bs there as well. I opened up that set with The Spring Song by Ed Miller, and you'll be able to see Ed at the Spanish Peaks International Celtic Music Festival come September. All right, give me a moment here, and let me cue up the interview with Neil Byrne. Stay tuned. Good morning. I've got Neil Byrne on the line. He's calling in from Ireland. And are you at your new place in Wexford?
Hi, Roger. And first of all, thank you very, very much for having me. I am live here from County Wexford. I am indeed. I've moved in here since last May, and I'm really enjoying County Wexford. I've got to know it a lot more than I did before.
Where in Wexford is your new place?
I'm outside a town called Gorey. And I live now up in the woods. And I have a house out on its own. And it's extremely quiet where I am. And it's a massive change for me because I grew up in Bray, County Wicklow. And that's one of the biggest towns in Ireland. And it's quite a bustling place, and I've lived in Dublin City, and you know, so I'm used to being in very, very busy places, and when on tour as well, I'm usually in cities and stuff like that, you know, have a lot of people around me, so I'm really, really enjoying the opposite effect, you know. I'm out by myself. It's great for hiding out, and people don't know where you are, and It's lovely for writing music here. It's just so quiet and peaceful, and nobody's knocking at your door. So I'm enjoying that side of it, that which I haven't had before, Roger. You know. So
That sounds lovely. How much land do you have there?
I live on a plot of about 3.5 acres. It's nice. It's not too big, and it's manageable, and it's just perfect for what I do. It's nice for exercise, and as I said, it's not too big to maintain as well. I live kind of on the side of a mountain, and it's quite rustic. It's kind of my house is kind of a contemporary house in a rustic setting, you know. So it's a bit of both worlds, which I enjoy, you know. I like being out here amongst the wildlife, you know. It's enjoyable. It's good for the head.
I'm sure it's good for the heart as well.
It is, of course, yes, indeed.
So, going back to your childhood, I know that in your early career, you were inspired by the playing of your father in an Elvis tribute band. Is that right?
Yeah, God, that was only like a small part of Dad's career. Dad, yeah, played. He did, indeed. It's funny, like, at the time, it was 1977 was the year Elvis actually passed away, and I was born myself in 1977, and I remember my mom said that she was pregnant on me when she used to go and see my dad playing in the Presley tribute band. But Dad used to tour with many bands around, mainly around England and Ireland. And played all his life. I suppose it was the infatuation I had was the guitar that was always the Fender Telecaster that was always in the hall. And I loved the smell of the wood and the case. Dad played that guitar for, God, it must have been 30, 40 years. And it was an event every time he took that guitar out. It was a real event for me to see. You know, there wasn't, going back at that stage, there wasn't many guitars lying around houses, especially expensive electric guitars. The sound of it through the big Marshall amplifier Dad had as well was just wonderful. And it was just, once I'd heard it and heard Dad playing, there was no way back, especially when he brought me to his first rehearsal. It was down in Dalkey in on the east coast of in Dublin. And I'll never forget. He was playing with a three-piece band, a small band at the time. Yeah, I just fell in love with it and wanted to play. And yeah, I never stopped from that age. Like, I was a very young age. I think I was probably about 6 or 7, and all the way up through my teenage years, my mom and dad used to have to fight with me to do my schoolwork because all I wanted to do was play the guitar. When I was supposed to be doing schoolwork, there was a Fender Telecaster blaring out of a speaker from my bedroom, so I could never really get away with it, you know. But behind it all, Mum and Dad loved that I was progressing very fast because I put so much into it and I loved it so much, and I had a bit of a raw talent to do with that I got from my dad. So with all those ingredients, there was kind of no way back, you know. So you're bringing me back to a very special place, Roger.
How many guitars do you have in your collection?
Do you know, it's funny, I actually don't know how many guitars I have. I know guys with more guitars than I have. I probably have about 15 guitars, but I don't even kind of call it a collection. I don't collect guitars. If I buy a guitar, I buy it because it has a different character to another guitar that inspires me. Like, I've been using a type of guitar that you would be familiar with yourself, Roger, that, you know, that's hugely used in American country music, and that's the resonator.
Mm-hmm.
And the dobro, and I've been using one of those to do a lot of writing because I just enjoy the color, the sound of it that it's given me. It's a very rustic sound, and it lends itself to some really lovely, it can be very interesting when you take a guitar that's very prominent, say in country music or folk music, and play it in another context and another style of music. It can really give you a very, very unique sound for that specific song. And I like mixing the resonator with a Celtic sound. Because it's very close to a banjo, and a banjo has been used in Celtic music quite a bit through the years, you know. So it's interesting, and I really love it. And what's handy as well is you can tune it the very same way you tune a guitar. So that's a plus for me.
A member of your street team, Lisa from Columbia, South Carolina, wanted to know which of your many guitars is your favorite and why. And I think you just answered that question. Perhaps.
Well, do you know what? Yeah, I like many of my guitars for the character it has. But if I had to pick one guitar that I love the most, that would be my Collings guitar. My Collings guitar is from a company in Texas, in Austin, Texas, and I have an artist deal with those guys. They build, in my eyes, some of the best acoustic guitars in the world are from Collings. They just have an absolutely exquisite way of hand-making guitars. Even in write-ups, I've read that, you know, they've been voted in the top three guitars makers in the world. And there's only, when the last time I was in the factory, there'd only 50 people working in the factory, and they're all very, very silent and just hand-making these guitars. And it's absolutely wonderful. It's really, they have an amazing passion for guitar making. Their guitars come with a stiff price as well, you know. But they have to be because the hours go into making it. The best woods in the world go into making it. If I had to have one guitar, it'd have to be my Collings. It's just it's like an all-rounder, you know, and it's very extreme. It was built for my size. It was built for my technique. It was built for everything. It was custom made. So it's like putting on a very, very comfy pair of gloves, you know, that fits you to an absolute tee, or an old pair of jeans that you're always in, you know.
That's a lovely description. Here's another question from Vicky in Waldwick, New Jersey. She said she loves the sound of a 12-string guitar, and she wonders if you have one in your collection, and if so, have you played it on any of your recordings?
That's a good question, Vicky, I do like the 12-string, you know. I love the sound it gives. The only thing I don't like about the 12-string is playing one, and I tell you why. Because there's 12 strings on it, it's quite cumbersome to play. They're not the most, and there's not much spacing in between the strings because there's 12 strings. I do like the sound of them, but I don't enjoy playing them. So what it's funny, that question. One of our main characteristics with the Byrne and Kelly show is that Ryan plays what's called a high-strung guitar, and I play the regular guitar myself. And between the both guitars, it gives the sound of a 12-string guitar. So, and the reason we do that is because we both could play two regular acoustic guitars and it would be fine, and you can separate the sounds a bit. But because the much, much lighter octave texture on the high-strung, it separates itself from my regular guitar. So when the two of us are strumming or picking the guitars, it creates a lovely wide sound, just like the 12-string in two guitars, and gives like I said, a lovely wide spectrum of sound from low up to high sparkle, and it's lovely. It's become our signature of our sounds, and it's funny. A lot of people say to me about the high strung. They say, you know, what is that? And I say, the high strung, you know. And the first time I came across a high strung was from a producer I worked with in County Cork, an English man called Andy Reynolds, a lovely, lovely man and a very talented man. And I was recording with him going back, must be 15 years ago now, and one of my tracks, and he said, well, maybe I tried a high strung there. And I said, oh, what's that, you know? So when I tried it on the track, it stayed out of the way of every other instrument and just had its place, and just this lovely sparkle on top. And it's used quite a bit for country music, and the likes of the sound of the Traveling Wilburys, that the some of the old songs like Handle With Care and stuff like that, it really sounds to me like they used a high strung, you know, and it's very comfortable to play. So that's, like I said, that's a really good question, actually, Vicky, because I do love the sound of the 12 string. I don't enjoy playing them, so I use different methods to get the same sound.
Well, you certainly do have a lovely sound and presence when you're on stage. And
thank you.
I know that there are many of your fans here looking forward to seeing you at the Soiled Dove Underground when you appear here on April 22nd. And you'll be following not too far behind Phil Coulter, who was on the stage where you'll be playing in February. He and his wife Geraldine Brannigan were just, or not just, but here in February for the 25th anniversary of their appearance in Denver. So I know that at one stage of your career, you were associated with Phil. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. Yes, indeed. It brings back wonderful memories. My first tour of America, I before Celtic Thunder, I toured with Phil, and I played bass guitar in Phil's band. And Geraldine was on tour with us as well. It was an absolutely wonderful tour. I'll never forget it. As I said, it was my first experience of touring across America and the whole touring thing. It was wonderful. And Phil was so good, so good to me. You know, I met Phil back in Bray, where both of us lived at the time, and through a mutual friend. And my first meeting with Phil was that I played at his daughter's 21st birthday in Phil's house. Hmm. And Phil got up and played piano for, God, it must have been nearly half the night. And we had great fun playing. I loved playing with him. And it was an amazing thing. It was a very special night for me, you know, because Phil Coulter's a legend. He really is. He's wrote some of the best songs in the songbook, you know, and yeah. Especially to come out of Ireland. Everybody, he's a huge household name in Ireland, you know. And when Phil's playing, people flock to see him, you know. And just was learned. I think I've learned an awful lot from Phil. I think I learned more of what I was doing wrong rather than what I was doing right with Phil, because he's a melody man. He will, if Phil, instead of writing 20 notes in two bars, Phil would write four or five notes, but every note is handpicked, beautifully written, and is so beautiful to the ear. And it was an absolutely, you know, playing with Phil was a huge, huge learning curve for me. And Phil got me my start with Celtic Thunder, and basically my start on the bigger stage. So, you know, he's a fabulous musician. It was just great to get that opportunity from him, you know.
How long were you with his band?
I would say, all in all, maybe a couple of years, about 2 years. Yeah, we did some shows around Ireland, some studio work as well. Then the recordings with Celtic Thunder, when that started in 2007. And I think it was 2007 as well when we went to the States and we did our tour in the States. And then I think I played on about seven or eight Tranquility cruises. Of Phil's as well, you know, which was always great fun.
The High Kings were in Denver March 21st and 22nd for two shows, again on the same stage where you and Ryan are going to be performing at the Soil Dove Underground. George Murphy, the newest member of the High Kings, gave credit to Phil for essentially having launched his career and having led to the recording of his first solo album. So Phil has just been remarkable in the contributions he's made to Irish music and to the music world in general. Rebecca from Denver has a question for you. She wonders if you've ever considered covering a John Denver song, at least while you're in Colorado.
Yeah, I mean, John Denver wrote some amazing songs, you know. One we used to do in the band years ago was Annie's Song. I always enjoyed doing that. I didn't sing it myself, actually. One of the other guys in the band sang it, you know. And that was actually going back when I played with my father's band for years. And sometimes we would do a waltz set for some of the old-time waltzes and Annie's Song went in there, and it was always a big song. People always loved it and always sang along to it, you know. So, I'd love to do one of his songs. It'd be great. They're always so beautiful and melodic to sing, you know, and they're always easy to learn because of that quality they have to them, you know. So, thanks for the recommendation. Absolutely.
I know that you and Ryan have a new CD coming out. It was recorded live at the Kansas City Irish Festival last year. Do you have a favorite track on the new album?
A favorite track? Do you know what tracks I think I enjoyed most on that live album? It's the tracks that you can hear the crowd singing. You know, we had four ambient mics. Two at the front of the stage, pointing out to the audience, and two at the back, where the back of the crowd. And in some of our songs, you hear the crowd singing the choruses. And I think they're like, there's one of our songs called "The Garden," and it's lovely. It's lovely to hear a crowd, a big crowd, singing back the lyrics that you wrote. You know, it's always a really lovely feeling. To hear that and people enjoying it, you know, it brings you back to when you were just writing those lyrics onto the page, And then, you know, maybe a couple of years later, you're over the other side of the world singing it, and there's a whole crowd singing those words, you know. So that's a lovely feeling. And when I listen to the live album, the likes of that is wonderful to hear. There's another one of the cover songs we do, that Christy Moore made famous, "Ride On," that Ryan sings, and the crowd loves singing that as well. So yeah, there's quite a few on it, to be honest with you, that I really, really enjoy. And I think possibly because the novelty of the live album is hearing the crowd and hearing the whole live aspect, you know, of us playing live. And it's I think people enjoy hearing the in-betweens as well, on a live album, of us chatting to the audience and the interaction with the audience that you don't get on a studio album. So I think it's some of the songs. So if I was to pick one, maybe The Garden, for that reason, because you know, it's one of our own songs and the crowd are singing it. So yeah,
I will be sure to play that particular track when this interview airs.
Thank you, Roger.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for your time. It's coming up on, speaking of time, when I need to let you go. And as enjoyable as this has been, and we could go on a long time. It's only an hour-long program.
I know, we could talk for hours.
we really could, and I would I would enjoy it, and I'm sure the listeners would as well. So I look forward to seeing you and Ryan April 22nd at the Soiled Dove Underground, and look forward to getting a copy of your new CD that I understand from Angie is going to be released on April the 12th. And I think this particular program will probably air on April 3rd. And so your fans can look forward to picking up a copy of the new CD when you are here. And I look forward to seeing and hearing you and Ryan again at that time as well.
So, absolutely, Roger. Listen, thanks. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. And I'd like to say thanks to all the street teamers out there as well for the questions. Enjoyed answering your questions. And yeah, hopefully we'll do it again soon. But listen, we'll see you at the Soiled Dove, and I'm really looking forward to it. We should have a great night.
That's excellent. Thanks so much for calling in, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
You too, Roger. Take care.
And you. Bye-bye.
This is a song we want you to sing along with us, Kansas City.
This is called The Garden. Once upon a long time ago, I remember how we used to dream. In the garden we played. We were young and we were free to take a chance on what it was to be a child of this world. A boy or a girl, so innocently hiding in the shadows, we were running till the day was done, laughing as we danced between the raindrops. We're the only ones. Wildflower fields, picking faces in the clouds, far away from the crowd, not knowing that the time would slip away into a place where only we could go. Within the depths of our souls, to a place where we were hiding in the shadows, we were running till the day was done. Laughing as we dance between the raindrops, we're the only ones. When we were young,
in the garden we laugh, in the garden we cry, in the garden we rule, till the last of the light. I can see the ghosts of the past, like a window through time, a window to the garden.
Hiding in the shadows, we will run until the day was done. Laughing as we dance between the raindrops, we're the only ones.
Yes, we will.
Years ago, huh?
Yeah. Beautiful singing, Kansas City. Yes. Beautiful singing. Kansas City, how are you?
Shoulta Gael is made possible by you, the KGNU listener member, and by the Celtic Connection. The Celtic Connection is a monthly newspaper for all people with an interest in Celtic news, music, language, culture, and tradition. For subscription information, visit CelticConnection.com or call 303-777-0502.
So you got to hear a lengthy interview with Neil Byrne, who will be here on April 22nd, and should be a great show in the intimate setting of the Soil Dove Underground. Before I play another tune, I want to try and squeeze in at least another cut off that particular CD. But there is a Seamus Heaney poem reading that I wanted to get in as well. And I also wanted to remind you that there are other people performing that it would be worth your while to go see. Margot Krimmel is going to be playing at Spruce Confections, 4684 Broadway in Boulder, this coming Friday from 8 to 10 a.m. Margot is going to be filling in for Adam Agee and John Souza, who usually do that Friday morning gig. Adam and John are on tour in Europe during the month of April, and then John's planning on spending May and June and perhaps July as well in Ireland. And then on Sunday, the 7th, Margot will be joined by Beth Gadbaugh, and together they will accompany the Longmont Chorale, or the Longmont Chorale will accompany them. excuse me. for a Celtic Spring concert, 3 p.m., Westview Presbyterian Church, 1500 Hover Street in Longmont. And then on Saturday night, Voronin begins their month playing at the Fort Collins Contra, 7:30 p.m., lessons at 6:30, 225 Oak Street in Fort Collins. And then on the 6th, Saturday the 6th, Skeen Dhu entertains at the Bemis Public Library in Littleton at 2 p.m. The Celtic Connection is hot off the press, and you should be able to pick copies of that up soon, any day now, at a pub near you. So I'm going to switch from a tune to a poem, a reading by Seamus Heaney, a poem called Digging.
Digging. Between my finger and my thumb, the squat pen rests, snug as a gun. Under my window, a clean rasping sound, when the spade sinks into gravelly ground. My father digging. I look down till his straining rump among the flower beds bends low, comes up 20 years away, stooping in rhythm through potato drills, where he was digging. The coarse boot nestled on the lug. The shaft against the inside knee was levered firmly. He rooted out tall tops, buried the bright edge deep to scatter new potatoes that we picked, loving their cool hardness in our hands. By God, the old man could handle a spade, just like his old man. My grandfather cut more turf in a day than any other man on Toner's Bog. Once I carried him milk in a bottle, corked sloppily with paper. He straightened up to drink it, then fell to right away, nicking and slicing neatly, heaving sods over his shoulder, going down and down for the good turf, digging. The cold smell of potato mould, the squelch and slap of soggy peat, the curt cuts of an edge through living roots awaken in my head. But I've no spade to follow men like them. Between my finger and my thumb, the squat pen rests. I'll dig with it.
The smiling spring comes in rejoicing, and sadly winter grimly flies. New crystal clear are the falling waters, and bonny blue are the sunny skies. Fresh o'er the mountains breaks forth the morning, the evening gilds the ocean swell. All creatures joy in the sun's returning, and I rejoice in my bonny bell. Sunny summer and yellow autumn presses near. Then in his turn comes gloomy winter, till smiling spring again appear. Thus seasons dancing life advancing, all time and nature changes time, but never ranging, still unchanging. I adore my bonnie bell. The smiling spring comes in rejoicing, and sadly winter grimly flies. New crystal clear are the falling waters, and bonny blue are the sunny skies. Fresh o'er the mountains breaks forth the morning, the evening gilds the ocean swell. All creatures joy in the sun's returning, and I rejoice in my bonny bell.
City and lead me to where I can be on my own. I wanted to see you, and now that I have, I just wanna be left alone. I always remember your kind words, and I still remember your name. But I've seen you changing and turning, and now all the things just won't be the same.
Who knows it?
Summer in Dublin, and the Olympias, it stank like hell. Young people walking on Grafton Street, everyone looking so well. I wanna sing you a song I heard somewhere called Rock and Roll Never Forgets. My humming was smothered by a 46A. The scream of a low-flying jet. So I'm leaving on Wednesday morning. I'm trying to find a place where I can hear the wind and the birds and the sea on the rocks, where open roads always run in. Quiet, and I wanna walk back up that hill. I'll just get on the road and I'll stick out my thumb, 'cause I know for sure you'll be there still.
You've been listening to Sholto Gale, hosted tonight by Roger Hara, closing out with another tune from Vernon Kelly. It's 8 o'clock. Listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Stay tuned now for UCAT and Musica Mundi. Thank you.
Yes, it is 8 o'clock. You're listening KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, 98.7 FM in Fort Collins, and 93.7 FM in Netherlands, and online, kgnu.org, and afterfm.com. It is time now for Musica Mundi, and my name is Oket, joined by Preston this evening.
Good evening, Boulder.
I hope you're enjoying the beautiful spring evening.
Yeah, it's been nice out there. We got a little walk in.
Yes. Well, stay tuned. If you have any comment or request, the phone number to call 303-442-4242, or you can email us dj@kgnu.org.
Support comes from Z2 Entertainment, presenting the Gypsy Kings live at the Boulder Theater on July 23rd. Tickets and more information can be found at BoulderTheater.com.
Support comes from Boulder Valley School District, hosting an employment fair and hiring event for all positions, Saturday, April 6, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Douglas Elementary School. More information and registration available at jobs.bvsd.org.
The KGNU Board of Directors reminds listeners that all our board meetings are open to the public. The KGNU Board of Directors meets at 6 p.m. on the second Monday of every month. We also have a Community Advisory Board that meets twice a year. All meeting dates, times, and locations are posted in advance on our website, kgnu.org. You can also get more information on KGNU board meetings by calling 303-449-4885 during business hours, or by sending an email to board@kgnu.org.